Welcome back to Missing. I'm Tim, here today with Lance. Lance, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic today, per usual, Tim, because I'm here, and we have a great episode coming up. It's part 6 of our remastered Sheila Shepherd 1980 Unsolved Murder Saratoga Springs series. I hope everyone out there is doing fantastic, and Tim, I hope you are fantastic. How are you?
Thanks for asking. I am doing well, and I am also excited to continue sharing our series on the unsolved murder of Sheila Shepherd. I want to remind everyone that you can watch video of these episodes on our YouTube page, and you can find that at youtube.com/missingCSM. And this episode here is the 6th one in our series on the unsolved murder of Sheila Shepherd from 1980 in Saratoga Springs, New York. I hope you've been along for the ride for the rest of these episodes, and if not, you may want to give them a listen. But this episode, Lance, is a really poignant one. We go to Sheila's grave with Sheila's aunt, Terry.
That's correct, Tim. As you said earlier, if you haven't listened to the episodes prior to this one, go back and listen. All of this footage and everything that you're hearing, for the most part, comes from our trip to Saratoga, where the investigators were so gracious to invite us there, and they introduced us to Terry beforehand, and we scheduled a meeting with her, and you heard us at the restaurant speaking with her, with the investigators. Like you said, it's really poignant, and it's really bittersweet, and it's very heart-wrenching to see the pain that Terry is still going through, and she wears the pain of her entire family, especially when we're at the graveyard. When you watch her, she's just so within herself, like she's so reflective when she's at the grave, and it's really telling. And there's a lot of things that she says here that are very telling.
That's right. And the pace is really kind of slow. It really almost kind of has like a funeral or a wake pace. You know, I don't know if you've ever, if you've ever been in a graveyard, you kind of know how people talk a little slower. The pace, the time in between sentences is a little longer. So that's kind of the vibe here in the first part of this episode. And we talk a lot about Sheila's brother, Jimmy. Sheila's brother, Jimmy, was incarcerated at the time of her murder. And actually he died himself just a couple of years ago on Father's Day. I'm not sure if it was 2017 or 2018.
Yeah, he lived a really tragic life, not to mention, you know, having the murder of his sister be on his conscience the whole time. He died in the motorcycle accident. He, by all accounts, was a good human being, but trouble seemed to find him. And he was incarcerated during her murder, but the irony is that she would leave her window open in case he needed to access her apartment.
Right.
And that's how we're assuming the killer entered her apartment. Maybe he did or didn't, but that is how her uncle entered the apartment when he found the body.
That's correct. And yeah, Terry talks about how Jimmy was affected by Sheila's murder and really took it hard. And I think it, you know, Sheila was murdered, obviously, but that murder, you know, it took a lot out of the rest of the family, too.
I guess you have to put into perspective their surroundings as well. There hadn't been anything like that in Saratoga Springs in a long time. Sheila stood out. At that point, all of the news was on them. You know, the family was under a microscope at that time. And with Jimmy's particular state of mind that we were told, that didn't help his, you know, his propensity to get into trouble and to be a bit reckless.
Also in this episode, Terry speaks a little bit about family history, some more stuff about potentially moving Sheila's grave at one point, exhuming her to move her. So there's a little bit of that stuff. But Terry also mentions that flowers had been stolen from Sheila's grave 2 or 3 times. And it's actually investigator Chris Callahan who says that that's pretty suspicious, and we all kind of agree and talk a little bit about it, but we kind of break it down in the next part of this episode where we're talking in the car,
which is really cool to hear because you're hearing us talk about it, Tim and I, but we're also including the little crew that we brought along, the camera crew and the audio guy, and everyone is giving really good feedback and very good opinions on what they think might have been the motivation behind a lot of things, including the plant stealing. The plant stealing, I think, is strange immediately because of the placement of the grave and the amount of times the plants were stolen.
And no headstone. How would they know where her grave is?
Exactly. And we even asked the question, were there other flowers in the area? Maybe a groundskeeper came and cleared off the flowers. And Terry doesn't even like hesitate. She's like, no, there was there. And it was in her head, someone has targeted or had targeted that grave to steal the flowers. And that is something that happened. So we just have to say, okay, was it some kid playing a prank or is this like a message?
All right, so let's play the first part of this episode. This is us at Sheila Shepherd's gravesite in Saratoga Springs, New York, with Terry, with our crew, and with investigators Callahan and Wilson of the Saratoga Springs Police Department. If you have any information on the unsolved murder of Sheila Shepherd, please call 518-584-8477.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of The Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to The Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
I'm sure this losing a sister didn't help him, though.
It didn't help at all. Yeah. Not at all. Especially when he thought he could save her. If I hadn't been in jail, I...
Yeah, guilt's a terrible thing.
Yep. Then he was in again. He said to his mother, Mom, I didn't steal anything. I was only driving the car.
Fortunately.
So my parents had bought this then, but, you know, stone or anything wasn't there.
Though, that's your parents?
No, that's my Uncle Art. My parents are here.
Oh, okay.
Sheila's here. My mom wanted to be here. And my dad was convinced he screwed himself out of a plot. We had to draw him pictures and everything.
How often do you come here?
I planted the flowers. In the beginning, you come a lot.
Yeah.
But you always make sure there's flowers. That precious, precious, do you know that poem about that they're walking on the beach and you see Christ's footprints?
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
That's where that came from, my precious, precious child. It was then that I carried you. Mm.
No, is Marsha's not over here then?
Marsha's not here, because this is, she's over in Greenwich, what is it?
Greenwich
Cemetery.
And Jimmy's over there. He was going to exhume her and have her over there, but you don't want to desecrate. She suffered enough.
See, he was going to exhume Sheila?
He was going to.
Yeah.
There's a lot of legalities to it.
Yeah.
And Marcia said, what do you think of that? And I said, I think it's desecration. That's what I think. So I'm going to be next to her. She's the only one with a...
With a...
A stone. Hmm.
How often have you guys been here?
Yeah, we were here last... 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just wanted to make sure we knew where, you know, where in the, was. In the cemetery.
Right by the dumpster.
I'm guessing, I mean, I don't know how far over this cemetery went then, but
it didn't go that far.
It just keeps adding, you know, more and more sections going over. If you go up in the front there, it's like the 1800, you know, headstones. Mm-hmm. Well, even older over at Green Ridge.
They used to not do cremains, but because it's so crowded. My sister and I are going to be on the other side. I know, we weren't thinking at the time maybe they should do their own stone. You know, my parents had this, and nobody was thinking straight.
Yeah.
No. You know, shouldn't have had ours. We weren't in our right minds. I did come over and make snow angels that winter.
What was the winter like?
It wasn't too bad if I could get in here.
Yeah. Had it snowed that year before November? Was there snow on the ground then?
No. Mm-mm.
Looks like in the news report, the one where they show from the day of, it looks like it's raining, I think.
It's raining, but there wasn't snow. Somebody kept stealing the flowers when we first...
Really?
Yeah.
Was that a common thing out here? People stealing flowers from graves?
I don't think so. But they stole them two or three times.
Kind of, it's odd.
Yeah, it's not nice.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I wonder if that's, you know, obviously related to somebody that...
Yeah.
You know, responsible for it. And why are you coming back multiple times?
Why are you coming back to take Sheila's flowers?
Was all this here?
Yeah, they're old.
Yeah.
Jim cleaned this stone, though.
Looks good.
Yeah.
Was this road here?
Yes.
So people could just drive in and drive down and just grab the flowers right there and drive off?
Yep.
Yeah, it's there's no gates or anything. It's just open to the public.
And they passed by every other grave that would have flowers on it, and they took this.
Yeah, they took those.
The high school's across the street here, so it's not uncommon.
Was it in 1980?
In 1980 it was.
Was it? Did that where you go?
I went there, yep. So it wouldn't be uncommon for high school students to come over here, especially skipping school.
Was Sheila's murder like a particular, like folklore or something at the time? Like go steal the flowers off of the haunted grave or something?
But how would they even know? I don't know.
Yeah.
Armstrong.
Well, I would...
Unless they were at the funeral.
Yeah. It'd be less strange. Right.
That's a good point.
It would be less strange if this grave was up there.
Right. Or if the headstone said Shepherd.
Yeah.
You know, not her mother's maiden name.
You Unless know, there was the a there's, there was a theory that the killer could be here.
Yeah.
But how would you pick him out? Or her or him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people at the funeral here.
Yeah.
She had a lot of friends in town, too.
Probably mostly looky-loos.
Was it?
Saratogans, just being, like
supportive.
I said, we weren't thinking right at the time.
But it was, I mean, it was a huge story, I would imagine, at the time. Still, you know, pretty big story now.
When
they've re-aired, you know, things about it.
Was there press here at the funeral? Or anywhere?
I don't think so.
That's particularly odd.
Yes.
How long did that go on for?
They probably stole them the first year, two or three times.
And how often did you come to put flowers or check it out?
Probably every other day.
Really?
You know, in the beginning, you're like in such shock that you come back.
Yeah.
I still see the them bringing her body out in her bag of clothes. The
and the yeah, the news story from 1980.
And Coley, everybody was so young.
Yeah, obviously you can tell that it's a big deal, big story. So we don't get that. You know, the chief of police doesn't come to any unintended deaths that we get, mm-hmm. or any crime scenes really that we get.
Yeah.
But the chief was there. The
was
commissioner.
He chief then?
He's assistant chief.
Yeah.
Commissioner of Public Safety, though, I think deputy commissioner.
Have you heard that theory?
I've heard that.
Me too.
Oh boy, what's that one?
I'll let you. I don't know better than.
That Cole was involved.
Who? Cole?
He was the.
The assistant chief of police.
Okay.
Police are always involved.
Yeah. There was a lot of.
Yeah, I don't.
You know, there was a.
That came.
There was
from,
an official looking car out back.
Oh, is that what it would even stem from?
Yeah.
Like I said, there's so many in those binders that we had of just different, you know, tips of somebody saw somebody running down the alley with a cape on that they thought would have been involved.
I didn't suspicious. Pay any attention to
right.
It was Cole.
Suspicious purple Continental. Lincoln Continental.
Outback.
Seen that.
Official looking car out in the lot.
Yeah, I don't know if official looking that is, but.
Mm. Yeah.
Purple. Lincoln.
How often did her mom come here? Did you usually come together?
No, different times.
Yeah.
We came at midnight once, like I said, threw some flowers out the window because we got scared.
Why did you get scared?
Because cemetery, it's midnight.
Cemetery.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, I mean, when you come
dark.
Here and do like checks on like midnight shifts,
it is
completely pitch black back here and just dead
We're
quiet.
Like, what are we doing? Dead I said, you fun, get but, me into yeah. more stuff.
Yeah, this is all farmland.
Yeah, it's an eerily quiet and dark.
Yeah.
Really
you know,
quiet.
Even for a cemetery.
Yeah.
Jimmy came here a lot. Her brother came here a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not too long ago, I was working, and my sister called me and said, would you go get Jimmy? She's in Florida. I said, well, where is he? Was at the cemetery. Hmm. Well, that was just 4 or 5 years ago.
When was his accident?
Last
two
Father's
years ago.
Day.
Mm-hmm. Just over 2 years ago.
So recent.
Or a year and a half.
Yeah.
How old was he?
55.
Wow.
He would have turned 55 July 21st.
And he took it personally?
Oh, yeah. He could have saved her.
Yeah.
You know, the window was open for him. And
how many people knew about that? The window being open.
Got critters. I don't know. I guess quite a few.
Yeah, we don't. We can only speculate too.
Yeah.
But he wasn't around.
Hmm.
He came to the wake. They gave him a choice, one or the other. So he chose the wake.
Was the lock broken on the window or anything like that, or was it just unlocked?
It was just unlocked. Okay. But Bill Ford was there. My sister said he can only come to one thing, and they got him back to the Boston spa, and the guy said, you're going to turn around and take him back tomorrow.
Oh, that's nice, at least.
Yes.
Mm. Jimmy ever say what he thought happened?
No.
But he was looking into it on his own?
I don't know. He was always a messed up kid.
Mm-hmm.
After that, he was young. Mm. Always kind of waited for that call.
Oh, about Jim, you mean?
Yeah, and the motorcycle and...
And we'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
Step into the hidden corridors of the past with Hometown History, where every episode uncovers the untold stories and secrets nestled in the streets and alleys of our own backyards. We bring history to life, revealing the extraordinary in the ordinary, from local legends to forgotten tales that shape the communities we know today. Tune into Hometown History and embark on a journey through time, right from where you are.
Do you find yourself captivated by the inexplicable, entranced by enigmas, and tantalized by the unknown? We are Shane and Josh Waters, brothers who will weave you through tales that have mystified us for years. From haunted hotels to inexplicable disappearances,
our episodes offer you a panoramic view of the world's greatest mysteries, leaving no stone unturned, no clue unnoticed.
With a gripping narrative, we invite you to join us on a journey into realms of the unexplained.
We're unraveling the mysteries that have perplexed humanity for ages.
So, armchair detectives, curious minds, and seekers of the strange, it's time to put on your headphones and dim the lights.
Dive into the uncanny world of the Mystery Inc. podcast and prepare for a journey into the unknown that you'll never forget. And remember, some mysteries are better left unsolved, but not unexplored. Gather round, friend, and join me by the fire. I have a secret to share. When I was a child, I lived with my grandma. She allowed me to watch Unsolved Mysteries. Fast forward to 2008, my freshman year of college. A series of armed robberies on campus escalated into a serial rapist's reign of terror. That's when I created my first crime podcast. In January 2014, I picked up the podcast again from my college roommate who fell for an underage girl online, to the chilling story of a murdered nun in 1969 Baltimore, and in the Throwaway series, I share my own journey of overcoming homelessness and how that experience led me to unmask a serial killer and identify three of his Jane Doe victims. This is Foul Play Crime Series, where the stories are real and the truth is waiting to be discovered.
Thanks to our sponsors, and now we're back to the program. So you can hear our curiosity about the flowers in that part. And now we really kind of break it down. And I guess a good way to put it is it all kind of dawns on us at once that maybe the killer was at the funeral, was stealing the flowers, has the pictures currently, but maybe even potentially had Sheila's keys at one point.
Does anybody think that there's anything to the flowers being stolen?
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
I don't think so.
I couldn't hear anything.
It's not the most uncommon thing.
It is not the most uncommon thing.
Because I've heard it at, like, even like my grandfather's, you know, grave, like that. That's happened. But this one does sound a little more suspicious to me than others because no one would know where the grave is. So it's either random, which we pointed out at the gravesite, it kind of couldn't be because it's way, way in the back. You're talking about
the last row.
Hundreds of yards and kind of like, probably bad pun, but buried back there.
That's a good pun.
Without an actual headstone that says Sheila Shepherd.
Right.
There's one in the ground that you would see if you happen to know the area maybe. But honestly, that tells me if we think maybe the person who killed her took the flowers, then they were definitely at the funeral.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would lean towards that.
The other alternative is that it's like a prank that kids do because, you know, it's the teenager, the girl who was murdered, you know, taking the flowers from the grave. But I mean, I think that's kind of... I don't know, like, if I would do that as a kid.
No.
I mean, you know, to seek out that grave?
Some kids do that stuff, but... The same kids
but
who
repeatedly?
Dare, same kids who dare each other to, you know, go into the creepy abandoned building and stuff like that.
Mm.
as a sort of a dare, but I don't know. Again,
but the same grave.
It seems more suspicious to me than just a random thing.
Yeah. I'll send her an email about the question that you...
What was the question?
Whether or not her daughter has... Whether or not Terry had asked or looked for those pictures that are missing, asked her daughter if she had them. The missing pictures from the trunk.
Whether. Yeah, it seemed that, that Terry said her sister heard, which would be Sheila's mom, said that she was looking at the pictures after Wednesday and before Saturday in her apartment. That was
Sheila was looking at the pictures.
Yeah, so Sheila did bring the trunk in and had the pictures in her apartment.
Yeah.
After they were dropped off in the common hallway.
Yeah. And Damon's question to Terry, which we didn't get a chance to ask, was if Terry knew, if Terry had asked her, Sheila's daughter, if she had the pictures.
Oh.
If someone had given her the pictures.
And she wouldn't know if those were those pictures that are missing, but they might be mixed up with other pictures, right? Because she's in them, right?
Yeah. According to what you said. And they're in an envelope. It's weird.
It's personal.
Yeah, it is personal.
It does sound like, you know, when you factor all this together, it does sound like, to me, that the killer went back into the apartment.
Yeah.
That the killer took the photos and that the killer was stalking her grave afterwards.
Yeah.
And stealing photos. It really does sound like that to me.
And it sounds like someone who knew her.
Yeah.
Because if they go back to the apartment and if they go back to the grave a couple of times, they are, if anyone sees them at the grave or in her apartment, they could say, I was just visiting her grave. You know what I mean? Like if it's someone that knew her and, you know, it's not somebody, you know, not some like.
Did her ex-husband have any family members?
That's what I'm trying
sisters
to. I don't know.
That could have done this for him or was angry at her for leaving him or.
Like an army buddy or something?
No, but a family member, you know, that was not happy with her.
That's kind of,
marriage. Well, they weren't happy, but, you know, if he had a brother or a friend.
That's kind of what I was getting at.
What they were looking for.
Yeah.
Right? They wanted the picture and maybe he was even. Knew about the window being opened and was in the apartment when she arrived home.
So the friends from the school knew, the two women from the school knew that the window had been left open occasionally. The brother was incarcerated at the time. Obviously wasn't him. She didn't leave the window open for him in that moment, at that night at least. But if two people from school knew that, how many other people from school knew that?
This is if the person was in there when she came home.
No, I'm saying that, I mean, anyone who knew that her window was unlocked could have gone in there after she was home. Could have gone up the fire escape and not come home with her. It sounds like she was walking home alone. She was either followed or someone knew she was in there, or, you know, and walked up the fire escape, possibly.
But the neighbors also heard a thump, which could have been someone coming in from the windowsill, you know?
Yeah.
It seems like there's a ledge.
Like the ashtray hidden in the ground.
Could be.
And also the cigarettes, so you have to find out. Those aren't cigarettes that she smoked.
Who's yeah, that was interesting.
Which the DNA might be able to tell the testing they're doing now.
Yeah.
Because that'll be a big thing.
Just the brazenness of going back into the apartment.
The whole thing's brazen.
Even the itch to have a trophy or whatever is probably strong.
But that, it's there's so many things. I mean,
yeah.
I think to get that picture, it's a personal, it's not a random picture. It's personal. It's not a piece of her jewelry. You know, it's something. Why would you
something
go in the
known,
trunk?
Yeah.
Well, we don't know. Was it in the trunk or was it displayed in her apartment?
Well, if she was looking at them, she probably took them out of the trunk and maybe they were on the table or something.
Yeah, but it's random. Why would you take a family picture? You know?
I don't know.
I guess it's more personal than a photograph from the newspaper of your victim, you know? It's probably more satisfying to the killer. Right?
And also the keys found across the street. That's very strange.
Like they wanted them to be found.
But they were done with what they wanted to do.
Why not throw them down a drain or something? Or if they wanted them to be found, why not just leave them next to the, like, in the block? Or is that, like, too obvious?
Well, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
So they kept them, assuming the killer went back and used the keys and then dropped them off. You know, they needed them for some purpose. Yeah. And then didn't want to be completely conspicuous, but didn't want to keep them either, because maybe because they traded it in for a different trophy.
Yeah. And they leave the apartment and they just throw them across the street.
Yeah.
And duck like down so that they're not on the main street. They go to the alley.
And the crazy thing about that scenario, Tim, with the keys is that it makes sense in your head that the killer would be alone with her in her apartment, and the most accessible way to leave the apartment is to take her keys, exit the front door, and then lock it so that the apartment's locked. Now, you know, it's locked. No one's going to walk in there without having a key. And with the location of them being found, you can imagine he walks out the door, and either he crosses the street or he tosses them across the street, because where they're found, or allegedly found, is pretty much right across the street. We were standing there when we were shooting the footage for this. And it's these keys are found months later after the snow melts. So there was a bit of snow on the ground in late November.
So they weren't there when Sheila was murdered. It wasn't like the killer walked out the front door with the keys and left them there then, but it is interesting to think of, and we don't know it's true, but I think what it sounds like, we think there's a possibility that the killer went back into her apartment because he or she still had Sheila's keys and took those pictures.
Yeah.
And then dropped the keys later, yeah.
That scenario, if he had just ditched the keys immediately after committing the murder, we know from the investigators that, including the investigators at the time, that the entire area was searched pretty intensively. And you'd think that they would find keys, if they found keys directly across the street of a crime scene with a murder victim inside, they would pick up those keys and go test them. But nobody found those until later. So that makes you think maybe the killer went back later. If he didn't access the apartment to take the pictures, maybe he's been doing this numerous times. Maybe he accessed the apartment to take pictures. Maybe he accessed it numerous times that no one noticed. And then one day he just dropped the keys there. Maybe as a sort of calling card, or maybe as a message. But if you're really sending a message, why wouldn't you leave the keys in the doorknob? That would be a real message. So
sure.
just like everything else in this case, it's just so head-scratching.
Yeah, and I don't want to speculate too wildly on it because we don't know, obviously, but it really is interesting. And again, in this scene, you can kind of see it in our faces too. It kind of starts dawning on us what we could be dealing with. And so let's throw it back to the car. Damon, our sound guy, asks if there was a guest book at the funeral.
I wonder if there was a guest book at the funeral. If the killer was there, maybe sign the book. I don't know. It's also weird that the husband was really nervous and sweating there, you know?
And I mean, we have to remember to ask Tom about his reaction, too, because Chris said that Tom, when he told him, her husband never asked how she died.
Yeah.
Like he already knew.
Yeah, and is anyone else getting did anyone else get the impression that Terry was suggesting that her husband might have been responsible for this earlier on, like on earlier than what they said?
It's just not possible, though.
Well, I mean, not like so after in between Saturday afternoon and then the sightings of her weren't accurate.
But they have that receipt from Saturday.
But yeah, so that was the last sighting, right? So
yeah.
I think, his alibi is for Saturday into Sunday, right?
I do know what you were saying. She was trying to say that maybe they mixed up Friday and Saturday, but based on that receipt, they didn't. Sheila was alive on Saturday afternoon.
So the husband
The alibi is strong.
Unless she purchases that stuff and goes back to her apartment, he's there, he kills her Saturday afternoon, the bartenders and all of those guys just misremember. Yeah, but
it's just tough. Yeah, it's hard to make it back.
But the condition, like the husband's sweating and stuff at the funeral, if he's that much of an alcoholic, say he didn't have a drink for a day or so.
Oh, absolutely.
He'd be acting nervous and weird and sweating anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably know you're the number one suspect at that point anyway.
Even if you've done nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. How would you not act weird?
All eyes are probably on you.
Yeah.
You're going to act weird no matter what.
And he probably was like, I'm going to go get flowers.
And it's like, I gotta get the f*** out of here.
Went to get a drink and was like,
everyone,
I can't get back.
Everyone
can't
thinks back, I'm though. Guilty. Yeah, you're probably right. Probably just went to the bar and didn't come back.
Yeah. The longer he stayed at the bar, the more he was like,
I'm definitely not going back.
Definitely not
yeah.
going back.
Yeah.
And, like, that's not too unusual for him to say, I didn't expect it to be like this or whatever he said.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty honest statement. You yeah. know, given, like, the circumstances. Like.
Yeah, I don't think that's super suspicious, to be honest.
If he had such a party background and stuff, too, he probably wouldn't, he probably would have expected a call, like, she wrapped herself around a pole.
Yeah. Well, what does he mean? I mean, we really don't know what he meant by the statement.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone who sees a dead body in like a wake or something is like, well, that's not the person I remember.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Do you think there's any significance of where she was stabbed?
I don't know. Like interesting.
Stomach, child, I mean, I don't know.
Like, yeah, some sort of significance like that.
I mean, she said they were having issues, but... we know exactly what those issues were.
I think once you're talking about that, like the intent behind it,
yeah.
would suggest that there's a lot of rage there, and but this there is such clean.
Yeah.
So Lance, I don't think I really got what you meant in that clip until I listened back. But I think what you're saying is perhaps Sheila went to the store that which would prove that receipt accurate as being the last time anyone saw Sheila, and that's documented evidence. But then someone could have been waiting in her apartment, potentially using that window. Who knows? Maybe that's Shep. Maybe that's someone else. I don't know. I do think it's probably more likely it's Saturday night because I think the detail about the radio was heard Saturday night. But I do think you could be onto something with that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say anything that comes out of my mouth is 100% accurate. It's like fragments of thoughts that just sort of, I try to put together into cohesive sentences. So it's just possibilities. It's just scenarios. And I guess like putting stuff out there just so it can be out there, it can go into somebody else's brain and it might rattle something loose in someone else's brain.
Yeah, and I don't think it's impossible to think that some of those eyewitness sightings were incorrect about yeah. Sheila on Saturday night, though I do think that Saturday Night Live was mentioned at one point where a witness claims they saw Sheila walk by the bar as Saturday Night was playing. So if that one is true, then it means Sheila was killed on that Saturday night.
And again, we're talking so long ago. People are in a bar and they're drinking and someone starts asking you, you know, weeks later or something, if you saw this murder victim and your two thoughts in your head are, yeah, I saw her at the bar. And then they say, what night was it? And you say it was Saturday night. I know that because I was watching Saturday Night Live at the bar. That might be conflated even by the person doing the interview.
I think there was another sighting too, though. Now I'm also not sure if it's true, but I think there was a different show that was on around that time, and that person claimed to had seen Sheila walk by as well. So I would lean towards Sheila having been killed on that Saturday night for sure.
Oh yeah, I agree. I lean towards that as well, and it probably is the case because Saturday Night Live starts at I think like 11 or 11:30.
11:30, yeah.
Yeah, 11:30. So. It is reasonable to believe that she was at the bar Saturday Night Live started, and maybe people saw her exiting the bar at like midnight or something.
I do think it's interesting, Lance, where when you consider Sheila's ex-husband as the killer, and you say it here, that there isn't any anger that's basically displayed in the crime scene. So I think you can easily see why some people imagine that it isn't Sheila's ex-husband.
I know, and I don't know if I said that the right way. I mean, there's when you look at the crime scene, there's obviously intent to restrain at the very least
and deceive.
Yeah, and well, after the fact, and the intent to deceive, maybe the intent to deceive with the knife wound in the abdomen. That's what you're talking about, right? To deceive.
Yeah, and even the ligatures. We're not sure if that happened post-mortem.
And we do know that. When somebody murders somebody who they know and who they love or respect or hold in high regard, they tend to cover their face or they cover their eyes at least. And she was covered fully and she was uncovered after the uncle crawled over her when he came in the window. So he had to pull the sheet back and her eyes were still open because Terry had commented that this is what her husband said, that he couldn't get her eyes out of his head,
yep.
Or out of his thoughts. And, you know, we know, like, you're covering somebody up. This is, again, why it's so perplexing. Somebody wanted this body to be found with the knife in the stomach to make it look like or confuse the cause of death. But then they cover up the whole body.
Yeah, it's definitely perplexing. We need someone like John Douglas to give us a profile of the killer, don't we, Lance? Well, we will be back with more from this series soon. Thank you very much for listening.